There's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. You guys better split.
Well, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for the beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
We got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
Is it beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up?
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. Rather being sober.
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
And this is Seth.
And we are Drunk
at the movies.
Brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois. Well, questionable remake month continues. We started off with The Wicker Man. That was a film.
Yeah. It exists.
Yeah. And we're like, hey, like Teen Witch, top that.
Yeah. Maybe we did. I don't know.
We may have. For today, we're watching, I believe, was it 2001?
2001, Tim Burton's
Planet of the Apes.
Which, for some reason, in the menu screen, features Admiral Akbar throwing a giant holding a giant match.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to make of this. I guess we'll find out. But I'm a huge fan of the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
I literally own any Planet of the Apes movie there is. I have the box set up on my shelf there with the originals. I own this piece of shit. And then I have the three more recent films, which are fantastic.
I was a big fan of, I forget who directed the first one. And then Matt Vaughn, I believe, did Dawn and War.
Yeah.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I thought was a good movie. It was great at establishing what this is going to be. And then Matt Vaughn just took it and ran with it and made two excellent sequels.
Yeah, I was giddy like a schoolgirl. And when the first of that trilogy came out, I was like, I hope they make more. I hope they make more. And sure enough, they did.
That Golden Gate Bridge battle at the end.
That was awesome.
It was just one of the best for its time, especially one of the best little action sequences.
Well, guess what? None of that is in this movie.
Oh, we're not watching that?
No,
oh, shit.
We're not. I bought this one, and I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever watched it in its entirety.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater, and I have a general rule of not walking out on movies unless I feel like I'm going to puke.
Yeah.
And I barely made it through this in the theater.
Well, what will help us, and maybe needs to help you, is a little Bearded Owl beer. And this week, we have a brand new England hazy IPA. This is called Hologram Buffalo.
Mm.
It's 7.6%, and it features Simcoe, Amarillo, and Hollowed Crystal hops.
Which do a great job of hiding the buffalo flavor.
Yes, for sure. And it's double dry hopped. So it's a DDH hazy IPA for reals. And if we drink enough of it, we might even bust out some Nana Cherry, do the buffalo stance. Who knows? Buffalo Gals, which will come out tonight. That's another buffalo song.
And if we're looking for a connection, the plot of this film is quite hazy.
Yeah, there we go.
So
there are no buffaloes in this movie.
There aren't.
There could be a hologram or two. I don't know. Do they have like an Obi-Wan Kenobi ape?
I think maybe they did, like, because there's some ridiculous... Well, we'll get to it. I think there's some holograms later in the movie.
All right. Well, as always, we've got an opening credits song for you to enjoy. And from the album How to Make Enemies and Irritate People, the Chicago pop punk legends Screeching Weasel. Here is Planet of the Apes.
Woo!
Here on Drunk at the Movies.
Planet of the Apes. You're a
All right. Well, that was Screeching Weasel, and now we're going to listen to some Screeching Apes. We have the menu screen pulled up. Hit play in 3, 2, 1.
So we'll take 5 drinks anytime there is a direct reference to the original Planet of the Apes. Okay. There are a few, which is kind of weird, because as they made this movie, Tim Burton did not want to do a remake. He said he wanted to do a reimagining of the film. And it was even originally a reimagining. And it originally even had a different title to avoid it being considered a remake.
It was going
to
be called World of Monkeys. That's a movie I'd have seen.
That didn't work, so they called it Barrel of Monkeys. Right. Still no good. So they decided, it's so close to the original, let's just call it Planet of the Apes. I believe it was going to be called The Visitor originally.
Yeah, they were like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, they broke
the fuck out of it.
And to continue our monkey theme, we are drinking out of metal monkey brewing pint glasses. They are from up north, I believe, the Bolingbrook area.
That's where I originally used to live.
So they are all about apes and craft beer and metal music. It's a nice little spot you guys can check out if you're up north. And I've got a Evolver t-shirt, which is a Beatles Revolver, but all the faces are monkeys. It's Romeoville. I'm sorry, not Bolingbrook.
Ah, there's a strip club in Romeoville. I forget the name of it because I've never been there.
It is ape-themed.
I hope so. We will see Helena Bonham Carter in this movie.
HBC.
Pulling off what's kind of a...
Well, I'm sure it'll garner some interesting conversation.
Yes. We'll get there. There she is.
And in fact, Tim Burton ended up, dating her married.
This is how they met.
Yeah. So something good came out of this, I guess.
Yes, it guaranteed us years of Tim Burton working with his wife and being one of Hollywood's greatest nepotists.
Yeah, I was going to say below his abilities. Estella Warren, former supermodel. We just saw Kris Kristofferson, Paul Giamatti. I mean,
he's
there's
good
a lot of names. Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Tim Roth. Mr.
Who
Orange.
I think he is one of the best things about this movie, as well as David Warner. Two actors I really, really love and respect and appreciate.
David Warner's been on a past episode, hasn't he?
At least one. We did The Omen, and wasn't there another one?
You might be right.
I feel like there was. I don't know. It's a blur.
Rick Baker. That's a tribute to the original, right? Wasn't he involved in the makeup in the originals?
I don't believe so, but
not at all?
Could be right. Danny Elfman, that's a surprise. Didn't see that coming.
I just know he's a makeup legend. And
I think his first movies were low-budget B-movies in the early 80s.
Okay.
He did The Incredible Melting Man, Amazing Melting Man.
The Melty Man.
The Super Melty Guy. And his first big stuff, I think, was An American Werewolf in London and then Thriller.
Right.
I think once he was working with John Landis, that's when his career really took off. He started proving to people that he was one of the best makeup artists in the
album cover. Is that
Richard Zanuck was attached to the original.
Is that supposed to be like a phallic symbol there?
I think so.
Based on a novel by Pierre Boulle.
Boulle.
Sure.
Now, the screenplay was written by William Broyles Jr., and then it was projected to be a $200 million budget. And 20th Century Fox, that was creepy, was known in the 90s and 2000s for completely ruining movies as soon as they started making them. And they decided to have
a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Right. The opening credits first looked like Star Trek. Now we're just getting right into Star Wars territory.
J.J. Abrams' lens flare.
You will be disappointed. So two screenwriters were brought in to redo the script, rewrite it, and it brought the budget down to $100 million, which 20th Century Fox was okay with. They were like, all right, now we can make this movie. They also famously ruined Alien 3.
Now, who is playing this chimp here?
Andy Serkis.
Okay. Very convincing.
Yeah. This is supposed to be 2029.
This is 10 years from now.
We have apes flying spaceships that apparently find Wormhole. Oh my God, he's going to blow up Alderaan.
He just wants a banana. That's all. He's trying to figure out which lever gives him the produce.
This also could be considered a Project X remake so far.
Yep. Hey, chill out, monkey. Say hi to your mother for me. I have Project X, too.
That is possibly the most underrated chimpanzee film of all time.
Yeah. And it has, you know, in his prime, Matthew Broderick.
Helen Hunt.
And a young Helen Hunt.
Using American Sign Language, teaching chimps ASL.
So,
look at that corona.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg was really excited to work with Tim Burton. So much so, he did not even read the script for this film. I signed on
to it 5 minutes after talking to Tim Burton and said, I'm in.
And...
oops, slave one.
You gotta feel kind of bad for the guy, because he passed up Ocean's 11 for this.
I feel worse.
And Ocean's 11 is a huge ensemble cast.
Right.
They went on to make two more sequels.
And even another spinoff.
And then, yeah, Ocean's 8 or whatever that came out fairly recently. And Mark Wahlberg missed out on all of that Ocean's money because he wanted to do Planet of the Apes with Tim Burton.
I love that in the not too distant future, thriller jackets have become white. That's just fashion in the future. I mean,
Michael Jackson was doing the same thing.
So do you feel worse for Mark Wahlberg or Tim Roth, who passed up Severus Snape?
Yeah.
Ooh. Severus, now, and you know, Alan Rickman is...
he killed it, and you can't picture anybody else in that role.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about Mount Rushmore.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying Alan Rickman's on Mount Rushmore, but there's sort of a Mount Olympus of actors who are just godlike to me, and Alan Rickman is one of them. That being said, Tim Roth would have been an interesting and probably excellent choice for Severus Snape.
I'm sure he would have done a great job as well. Oh, dude, he's from Chuck. He played the manager of the Bymore. I don't know. So these are all people partying on Earth.
And everybody is just, like, in beach clothes. It's just Back to the Future Part 2 fashion. Did you see that? Just neon clothes?
Well, I mean, it's only 10 years from now. So I guess that's realistic. These chimps are not having it.
No. So their space station, which is just outside of Saturn... because 10 years from now, that will happen.
Right.
Is malfunctioning somehow. Aww. How can that possibly be evil? So their space station's malfunctioning, and everything's blacking out. They're trying to figure out what's going on.
I might black out by the end of this movie. Now, we may as well just get into it now while we're out in space. Connections to any Star Trek... stuff.
David Warner. Well, he played three different roles in the Star Trek universe. It's in space. That's all I can think of.
Okay. Does that ship resemble anything?
Looks more like Slave One to me, or a B-Wing.
Okay. Slave One being Boba Fett. Oh, Hitler. Yay.
That's because that's how you want to start your movie.
And Castro.
Okay, let's get to work. We'll start with a pass through the central...
So 10 years in the future, snow still exists on TV monitors as they're flipping through channels.
Yeah.
We have standard operating procedures.
And I'm well aware of the procedures, sir, but if we go through all of them, it could be gone.
No manned flights. We start sending...
hey, man. Then if it's safe, how about some good vibrations?
You need somebody out there who can think. Why don't you just allow me to do my job?
He's the canary. That's the coal mine. Your monkey launches at 1600.
A conversation they have not yet had. These are astronauts who have been training for this mission for, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
We're going to send your damn chimp out into that nebula or whatever it is.
I think they found a wormhole, or they don't know it's a wormhole yet.
All right, you just follow your sequence and come home. Understand? Home.
All right, who's the least believable Hollywood astronaut to you? Mark Wahlberg, Sandra Bullock... or, let's see, Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, for that matter.
Yeah, there's been a bunch. I just watched Ryan Gosling in First Man.
How was it? I haven't seen it yet.
Wasn't too bad.
Did the absence of an American flag upset you? That upset a few people.
Really? I didn't even notice.
I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. It was a long movie, and we watched it really late at night, and I knew I had to get up in like 5.5 hours. I was like, come on, man. Just land on the fucking moon already. Like, we all know where it's going to end. That looks like an earbud or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much all the space stuff is a ripoff of 2001 now at this point. Oh, that's clearly a person's hand with a monkey glove on. Ape glove, I should say.
He still hasn't figured out which one gives him the banana. So, what do you think of Mark Wahlberg in general?
I generally do like him. Okay. I think that sometimes he's miscast.
He gets a bum rap.
I think often he's miscast, yeah. And he's...
He's a fighter.
Yeah.
Great in The Fighter.
I loved him in The Departed.
Horrible. You liked The Happening?
Here's my thoughts on The Happening.
The Crappening, as I call it.
Suspension of disbelief is necessary for a lot of movies, but it can only go so far. I understand. If you're going into an M. Night Shyamalan film, you have to expect you're going to not think it's going to be realistic. He really expects his viewers to be like, okay, I'll go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And also, I watched the director's cut when I watched it, which is significantly better. For some reason, they cut out all the scenes that make his relationship with Zooey Deschanel make sense.
Okay.
I'll put it this way. This movie is worse than The Happening to me.
Okay. Well, Jackson, the 9-year-old in the house, actually selected this off the shelf one night to watch, and we had watched the recent ones, and I was like, are you sure about this? I think you might prefer to go with one of the classic ones.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want to go with this one. I think he made it to about this point, and then he's like, nope, I want to watch something else. This is boring.
Yeah, and it is.
10 minutes in. And it's a 2-hour movie, so... He gave it the old fourth grade try.
Did we miss the... possibly the worst line in the movie. Never send a man to do a monkey, or never send a monkey to do a man's job.
Oh, geez.
He's supposed to be an astronaut who's been working with these chimps for... Oh, I think this is it.
Never send a monkey to do a man's job.
There it is. There it is.
And he's like, that's it. I hope you die just for saying that.
At least the other actor had the appropriate reaction.
He said it with such conviction.
For 2001, these special effects aren't very good.
No. And for a budget of what it had. Oh, there he is.
Oberon, I got a visual on Alpha Pod, over.
Oberon, aren't those little birds that they boil alive and you eat them whole?
Oh, I just hear Oberon and I think of a beer. It's a wheat ale from Bell's. It's got a sun on the front of it.
Is it made of birds that were boiled alive?
I think so. I think that's one of the... That's what it...
Do you have any?
No, I don't. Alright, well, this is riveting.
Oberon, come in.
20th Century Fox did not want to spend a lot of money on this movie, as we said earlier, and it really shows. They also famously fucked up Alien 3. David Fincher said that was the worst experience. He almost didn't direct another movie after that. Because they were rushing the production. They kept rewriting the script while it was being made. Same thing happened with this movie. Alien Resurrection had the exact same issue. So 20th Century Fox was known for fucking up their own movies throughout the 90s and 2000s. So we just saw... whatever home base is.
Yeah, some old guy.
Yeah, their monitor was sending back video.
Biff from Back to the Future 2
showed up. 2015 Biff. Donald Trump Biff. Telling them that something went wrong. Now we're at an Earth-like planet with multiple moons. Could be Tatooine.
Could be.
So already, the audience is finding out that this is not... really a remake, because if you're paying attention, this clearly isn't actually Earth. It's another planet somewhere. in the galaxy that he just went to through some kind of wormhole.
I bet they have apes.
Maybe it's Dagobah? I don't know.
It looks like it.
This is exactly Luke crashing. And
where's R2?
Yep. He's going to be spit out by a swamp monster. He just made a chimp sound.
All right, so favorite movie chimps or apes? Who are some of your favorites?
Every Which Way But Loose. No, I take that back.
Right Turn, Clyde.
I'm going to probably go with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Or Dawn. Rise was the first and Dawn was the second, correct?
I know Tony Orlando sang with Dawn.
Okay.
And they tied a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Was he dressed as a chimp?
I think so.
No wonder that song was so popular.
I like Chim Chim from Speed Racer.
Well, that's a good one. He's even dressed like Luke from Empire.
He totally is. He just needs a backpack with a Muppet in it now. Now, have you ever watched Bad Lip Reading?
Yeah.
So you know the Seagulls song?
Yeah.
I was actually wearing my Seagulls Stop It Now t-shirt last night. I just remembered that.
How about you? What's your favorite chimp or ape movie?
Well, we mentioned Project X. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that a lot as a kid. Hey, there's Kris Kristofferson and Estella Warren. It's Sunday morning coming down. They're being chased.
See, now is when you run.
Yeah.
If you see a bunch of humans running away and they're not attacking you, you run with them.
Is Chaka in there?
It's not an answer, dude. That's your name. Ooh, I forgot about Congo. That's my favorite ape movie.
Okay. Yeah, I think... I really like the modern Planet of the Apes. Those were pretty solid. I mean, yeah. I appreciate the classics, but in terms of films... Of course,
they're dated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just one of the best movie endings of all time.
Yeah.
Which is not what I can say for this one.
Oh, yeah, we got a few things to say about the ending. That's Michael Clark Duncan, right?
That was.
Yeah. John Coffey, spelt like the drink, or no, like the drink, only not spelt the same. He was working on Green Mile, I guess, when he was offered this role.
He was offered the role without knowing what the role was or reading the script, and he immediately responded, "Let me guess, I play an ape."
Now, is that racist casting, or is that just because he's a large man?
I think that was an issue when this came out. People were like, okay, so you're having African-Americans play the gorillas, and white people playing the chimps. I do think that the actors in the ape costumes, who underwent ape training, they went to ape school for this movie for a month before shooting.
That'd be cool. Whoa, they got some ups.
Yeah, see, I do like that Tim Burton made them far more ape-like.
Uh-huh. They're not humans that look like apes.
Yeah. And the prosthetic makeup is pretty good. I think it came a long way since... Oh, here we go. Get ready for some drinks, I think. Like their teardrop helmets.
Where did they get horses from?
Yeah, this really should be the planet of the horses. The horses already existed.
Yeah.
And then humans sent apes and totally fucked up the evolution of horse.
That's Tim Roth, right?
That's Tim Roth, who is a great villain. He's the best part of this movie, I think.
He's like, what the fuck? You talking?
Your stinking hands off me, you damn dirty human!
Callback.
Five drinks.
I like their, they have blinders on like horses.
See, the horses were evolving, and they took that idea from the horses.
Like in Sorry to Bother You?
Like Mr. Ed.
The Equisapiens, have you seen
that? I haven't seen it.
Oh, good Lord. I will say no more because it will totally ruin the mind fuck of that movie. You do need to see Sorry to Bother You. I saw it in the movie theater, and I was like, that's the most original movie I've seen in a while.
All right.
I did not know what to think of it after it was over. I'm like, I liked it, but I really don't. I have to process this.
I like movies like that. I definitely want to see it then.
And then I rented it as soon as it came out on DVD because I told Brianna, you have to see this. And it's one of those films where it's like you're going along for the ride and you think you know where things are going and you're enjoying it and the social commentary. Ooh, but
Brick
then
Baker.
Ah, okay.
Right there. Getting high.
And then two-thirds of the way through the movie, they slip some LSD or something in your drink, and the movie just takes this sharp right turn into what the fuckville, and you hang out there for a while, and it's like,
huh,
okay, all right. And it was Boots Riley is the guy who made the movie. He's a rapper in the rap group The Coup,
mm-hmm.
and he was also in Street Sweeper Social Club with Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. So I only knew him as a musician, but apparently now he's also a filmmaker, and he wrote and directed it and got a lot of attention for it. It's much like how was it Jordan Peele with
Get Out.
It's like here comes another up-and-coming African-American filmmaker with some interesting ideas and on how to change things in film, perhaps. So, oh, there's HBC. She is not a fan of basketball. That's Deep Roy.
Yeah.
That's the Oompa Loompa.
I don't understand why her prosthetic mouth is far less emotive than everybody else's.
Yeah.
Like, she actually just looks like she's wearing the original makeup that Roddy McDowell was wearing.
And she's got the Rachel from Friends haircut.
Yeah, that was big still at this time.
And Paul Giamatti plays the orangutan.
Yeah. Right? Nice Giamatti.
Yeah.
What are you trying to put me out of business? Oh, these are the skankiest?
Scabbiest,
scuzziest humans I've ever seen.
Who's scruffy looking?
You don't want them?
I'll take the whole lot. I must be out of my mind. Out of my mind. I'll have to make it up on volume. All right.
His reaction when seeing the movie premiere.
Yeah. Now his dad, A. Bartlett Giamatti, was the commissioner of baseball when we were kids.
Huh.
Yeah. A little fun fact there about Paul Giamatti.
I just pictured him answering a red telephone in the booth.
Yeah.
Anytime you say a commissioner.
Very touchy, really. I can't see through the tears in my eye.
I have so many issues with this script, one of which is that the apes are aware that humans are sentient and that they are intelligent and
uh-huh.
can speak and are aware of emotions, but still treat them like they're animals. See, it made sense in the original when apes thought lost that man couldn't talk.
Yeah, they lost their ability.
In this,
I can sing! Dr. Zaius.
I was wrong. It was worth all along.
One of the best Simpsons episodes ever. Here they come.
You're getting soft, Limbo. You normally hack off a limb.
Yes.
The little ones, Limbo?
The little one's kind of creepy, right?
But, super creepy. It's like the little kid in Dark City. Little kids in prosthetic makeup often make a movie terrifying.
He's feisty.
I like him.
Now, I read something about the eyebrows on Helena Bonham Carter, that originally she wasn't going to have eyebrows, but then it was too creepy looking.
Yeah, somehow it was too unsettling. It took the sex appeal.
We want her to look more hotter.
Right. I want to be able to bang the female apes.
Yeah. Right now, I think she just has, like, alopecia just on her face.
Yeah.
She looks like Pink.
Excellent. Oh, the little ones make wonderful pets. But be sure you get rid of it.
Yeah, like, some of this seems vaguely familiar. I think I've repressed memories, but I'm pretty sure I did not finish this entirely.
So do you remember the ending?
I know about the ending strictly because of the Kevin Smith debacle, which we will talk about once we get there.
I think I'm unfamiliar with Kevin Smith's debacle.
Yeah, he had some issues with the ending. Stay tuned. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it just really tugs at your heartstrings. Is she a squeak toy?
And I have a pretty new collar just for you.
I want a slave.
Compliments of the house.
Why are his teeth so bad?
You stink of humans.
Tim Roth asked Tim Burton if he could rewrite a lot of his dialogue to make Thaddeus, is that his name? Thaddeus?
Something like that, yeah.
To make the villain more creepy and evil. And whatever Tim Roth did, I think is the best writing in the movie. Tim Roth really should have been the one to rewrite the entire script.
Yeah. I do like the way he just mounted that horse.
Yeah.
And it wasn't sexually, just to be clear, in case you're not watching. But he, like, got up on his haunches, like, on the back end of the horse.
His performance is excellent.
In a crouch.
It's quite believable. I feel like she could just pull out of that very easily.
Mm-hmm.
That collar is 5 times the size of her neck.
What?
He just wafted his armpit hair at him, and it made him faint, apparently.
I'm also confused at the casting of her, because, like I said, I seem to recall her mostly being known for being a model, not really an actress. And, you know, maybe there wasn't much to do, so they're like, yeah, she can do it.
Oh, I forgot Mark Wahlberg's in this movie.
This is her number one credit. So that tells
you
something.
So it only got worse from here.
She's still doing some stuff, apparently.
Besides, I don't see any of you bleeding hearts spending all day with these dangerous...
Kangaroo Jack is her second credit.
They're not done.
Which is the best movie involving a talking kangaroo.
So far.
Yes. That's until we get to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And we resurrect the Crocodile Dundee franchise.
Now, there's your proof.
So Paul Giamatti's character, Limbo, who I think is the only orangutan in the entire movie, originally, not to give anything away, not that you care, was going to be a good guy at the end. He was going to attain some kind of altruism.
Gotcha.
And be the one who has a change of heart. But Paul Giamatti and Tim Burton talked off to the side and decided that would be, quote, lame.
They wanted to give him a compelling story arc. Some redemption.
Yeah, I think they wanted to show that people and ape can change.
Oh, no, that would be extensive.
Kind of like the Terminator at the end of Terminator 2.
Okay.
At one point, James Cameron was attached to this. He was going to direct it, because this movie was in development hell for years.
Yeah.
But
maybe should have stayed there.
I'm sure.
Yeah, until, whatever, what was it, 2009? 8?
Yeah, sounds that, about right. Oh, she's purring. She's an ape. Oh.
Deliver them to my house.
I remember when I saw this in the theater, I just kept waiting for it to get better. I was like, okay, I think it's just, it's finding its ground. It's establishing something, and we're going to be wowed at some point. And at the end of the movie, I think I did go, wow.
In my house.
David Warner.
Yep, there he is.
Different. How could it be different? You can't tell one from the other. Well, I guess
racist.
They're forcing they all look alike a little bit too much. Yeah, the
she obviously has breasts. Right. So she does not look like Mark Wahlberg.
He's brunette. She's blonde. They have different eye colors.
Yeah. She's really infatuated
and
with.
Wash your hands before dinner.
I've never been a big fan of people that complain about what they call forced diversity and, like, you know, social justice.
Is that like forced perspective?
I guess. I don't know. I've never understood either. So
it's where you put the white people further away in the background.
Which is weird, because according to the aesthetics of art, light comes forward and dark goes back if you're trying to establish foreground from background.
We're fine.
Oh, there's another big ol'. That's an orangutan too, isn't it?
Is that Pete Postlewaite? Scurrying away in the back? No, it's the other guy that
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not Pete Postlewaite. It's the guy from Stargate.
Uh-huh.
How the hell did these monkeys get like this?
They're not monkeys. Quit that.
Where would they be?
Begging me for a treat right now.
What tribe are you from?
U.S. Air Force. I'm going back to it.
What?
So Michael Clark Duncan sprained his ankle during the making of this movie and had to be rushed to the hospital in his full ape costume.
For a sprained ankle?
I think it was sprained. Let me consult my notes here.
I feel like I've sprained my ankle before, and I never went to a hospital. But I'm also not an actor on a set.
I think they do that for insurance reasons and just to be safe. Because if it's not treated properly, then production gets held back 6 weeks. And,
yeah.
And then the movie would bomb, and we can't have that.
I find it relaxing.
I wanted to go out.
I wish John Malkovich was in this movie.
Nothing but
that would have helped it a little bit more.
All you did was nap.
Exactly. A bit of
okay, there is another orangutan.
Yeah, the guy you were thinking of, his name is Eric Avari.
Okay, yeah.
From Darjeeling, India.
Now I can barely climb a tree.
Maybe his role may be limited. But he makes the most of it.
Much like Wes Anderson's talent.
Yeah.
No offense, Wes, if you're listening.
You've long been a stranger in our house.
They did make the ape makeup far more. Rick Baker made it far more emotive in this. Most of the actors, the expressions on their face, which is one of the challenges with prosthetics this involved. I'd like to spend more time. And he had an issue with Tim Roth's makeup because actors like Paul Giamatti have such emotive faces that it's kind of easier. It's easier to make the prosthetics work with them. Tim Roth really just kind of uses his mouth a lot when he acts. It's his mouth and his eyes. He doesn't do a lot of expressive acting, which is why he's such a great actor.
That's not Helena Bonham Carter, is it?
No, that's that one right there.
Yeah, that she's hotter.
When the army burns the bodies before
they. She's the little minx of the ape village, and she's with that guy.
She's like some kind of empress or something. She seeks power. She's not the kick-ass,
gotcha,
bleeding heart liberal like HBC is.
I'm guessing her name is either Lita or Nova. If it's Nova, that's Lisa Marie, which is Tim Burton's ex, who he was probably with at the current time. Because she used to appear... Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Lisa Marie.
Okay.
She usually played the attractive woman in all of his movies. She was in Mars Attacks as like bombshell alien or whatever. So yeah, at this point, I guess he was still with her, because why else would she be in the movie? And then they split... Isn't it obvious? And the other chimp won.
Was Christina Applegate in Mars Attacks? I thought she was the bombshell alien. Or am I misremembering that?
I don't know. She's listed as Martian Girl. She was also Vampira in Ed Wood.
Okay, then yeah.
Lady Crane in Sleepy Hollow. Like, most of her credits are from Tim Burton movies.
Tim Burton's movies from the mid-late 90s to the mid-2000s were pretty much stinkers.
From 2001 to 2012, nothing. She did this movie, and then she appeared in The Lords of Salem, Rob Zombie's.
That's what some divorce movie money from Tim Burton will do for you.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
The senator's daughter flirts with blasphemy.
And blasphemy is lucky for it. I remember liking this little scene.
Gross.
Is there a soul in there?
I'm guessing Tim Roth wrote that because it's the best dialogue in the movie.
Yeah.
Do you have a towel?
Don't forget to bring a towel. All the monkeys, so all the apes right just start getting... Now he's got me doing it. Now I'm calling chimps and apes and chimps and gorillas and orangutans monkeys. You're excused.
Well, go on.
Temple of Doom.
They've got a simian walk down pretty well. Now, of course, in the recent planet... she's writing with her
feet.
That
was so funny.
Yeah, that's why she's sucking on her fingers, was just so we would get that. Yeah.
So Tim Burton has a foot fetish and a finger sucking fetish, apparently.
You've wasted your time.
Do you think
Quentin Tarantino? We know his thoughts on feet,
right? And I don't think he's. I think he's fine with it. I think he wants us to know. I can't help but wonder if Tim Burton at some point said to Helena Bonham Carter, just leave the makeup on tonight. Because he wanted an actual like love scene, like an intimate kiss between Wahlberg and HBC. But the studio wouldn't allow it. They said it was too unsettling. Mm-hmm. They even shot a kissing scene, and they couldn't put it in the movie, aside from like the little peck that they had at some point. And by little peck, I wasn't implying that Mark Wahlberg isn't well endowed. If you're listening, Mark.
No, we all saw those underwear commercials.
He wouldn't wear a loincloth for this to make sure that people didn't associate the movie with his early underwear modeling career.
Nothing comes between me and my Calvins. How's it going?
Now I want to see him as Marty McFly.
Yeah. So him and his brothers... own a chain of burger restaurants called Wahlburgers. And I think it's more in the New England area. Mm-hmm. Another reason we're drinking a New England IPA. Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Boston. I think Mark is mostly just a financial backer. It's his brother is a chef, and then like Donnie, I think, is more involved, or Mr. Jenny McCarthy at this point, we could call him. But they have a reality show about it too.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple episodes,
and I'm guessing that Mark Wahlberg doesn't even eat a lot of the burgers because he does like nutrition supplement commercials and is always looking super built and awesome. And eating a lot at your own burger chain is not going to give you a body of somebody who's selling supplemental nutrition.
No, probably not. It looks like there is a Wahlburgers in Chicago. How about that? They're taking over.
They're expanding. They're probably going to close like Planet Hollywood in about 5 years.
Yeah. Well, the TV show's on A&E, if you're curious about it, and it's in its 10th season.
Really? It's been that long?
Well, it may be one of those shows where they have, like, 2 seasons per year.
Man, I thought that talking about having a landline made me feel old.
Yeah, but season 10 kicks off May 15th. So, yeah, it's been going on for a while. Wahlburgers, check it out. Say hi to your mother for me.
Now, originally, Tim Burton wanted to put Paul Reubens in this movie.
Paul Reubens? Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, as a Cornelius-like role. It just never came to fruition for whatever reason.
Hi, I'm a chip!
Right.
Oh,
so
dear.
Here we see...
ape-on-ape violence.
Yeah.
Ape shall not kill ape is the rule
They hadn't established that yet, I guess apparently. Not. So Tim Roth just turned on his own people.
They look like there's some kind of hip-hop breakdancing combo coming up to, like, do a dance battle the way they were walking there.
Relax, don't do it.
Oh, hey there.
You're hurt.
How did you get away?
They picked the lock. I don't know. Like, how is Mark Wahlberg smarter than any of the clearly advanced Homo sapiens
right.
on this planet? It's rope. And again, I don't mean Mark Wahlberg personally. I just mean, how come this one human is like their savior? They're supposed to be as intelligent as any other human. She
promised to show degradation.
I guess. De-evolution.
Yeah. This is one of their house humans. They've been degraded for so long, they have no self-confidence.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know.
We're just stupid humans. We don't know anything.
Didn't you hear the apes tell us that we're dumb?
I believe it.
I don't know why. I'm very defensive for Mark Wahlberg. I have no idea why. They're actually breakdancing.
And they're smoking pot.
Smoking bong. Woo! All right. What's with the ape with the Rastafarian getup? Like,
yeah. Stoner apes. Oh, are we going to see some boobs? Some ape boobs now? It wouldn't surprise me. I think, yeah, we're seeing something. Alright, well, I was into it until now. Like,
I was more into it.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Kinda.
We're gonna start playing Lionel Richie's Dancing on the Ceiling.
Right? Oh, what a feeling. Is that for a wig? Yes. Uh-huh. An
balding ape
toupee.
And
dentures.
Got dentures.
That's something. Oh, jeez.
No, I remember this. This is
disturbing.
About to be really clever.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck you.
Ape tucks his junk between his legs.
Oh, he's doing Amina Suvari upside down.
Yep.
And Kevin Spacey's going to come finger her in the bathtub. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
It's as touching as a Precious Moments doll.
You interrupted pedal time. Yeah, fuck this shit.
Tim Burton said he would rather jump out a window than direct a sequel to this movie.
Well, that's about the first rational decision Tim Burton's made in a while.
And I don't know what to think of it. I like a lot of Tim Burton movies.
The studio just fucked everything up too much?
Yeah, they rushed the production. It was shot in 80 days. They were rewriting the script while the sets were being made.
I heard they had a release date planned before shooting had even started.
Exactly.
And it took like 80 days or something like that for them to film this, which... compared to a lot of films, that's a long time. Like two
for a movie this size with this budget with this much involved.
Well,
that's a rush of production.
I was going to say for a lot of the movies we watch on this show, I feel like those are probably accomplished in about 30 to 40.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, this is supposed to be like a summer blockbuster.
A good mumblecore film will be shot in 2 weeks.
Right.
But, yeah, for the scope of this film, for as much as they hyped it, as much as it should have been, as the star-studded power, the production value, $100 million in 2001 is actually a pretty big amount of money. And they just rushed everything about the movie. So I'm not sure if I should feel sorry for Tim Burton or blame him. Like,
also,
you knew what you got into.
It did make money. I think it made about 180.
It made $180 million, cost $100 million for production. I don't know what they put into marketing.
Yeah, that's
they
hard
to
say.
They did not get back what they were hoping to get back.
Oh,
and
for sure.
With the critical response that it got, it was not going to get a sequel, even though
I think
excellent ending left it open for a sequel.
IMDb, it has like a 5.7 or something.
Yeah, if that. And IMDb is even... sometimes way lower than I would expect it to be. A human child cannot survive the journey. Bond can take her. Take her and hide her at home.
Yeah, 5.7 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's a fart noise of a, score.
Oh, you can see their helmets shaking because they're made of rubber. I Have you seen a pack of Trojans? Gee, I just ran out.
I don't understand the shape of the helmets.
I don't know what they're based on.
They're
tapered. Yeah.
So are they supposed to look like a pile of shit?
Could be.
A chocolate chip. Some sort of sex device.
That door makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's pointed so their helmets can make it through, but it's
which implies
little...
that pointy shape has made its way into all of their art and architecture. So,
oh,
how about some explanation, movie?
Do it for Bobby McGee. It's a Kris Kristofferson song. For those who don't know.
And now, what did he think was going to happen?
This. But he just took one for the team.
Get your stinking paws. Oh, we did that reference already. Sorry. Oh, they're falling in love. Oh.
Oh. Sword slices flesh, body thuds.
I thought he'd cut a watermelon.
I want to see Gallagher from this planet.
That's surprisingly one of the only things that would make this movie more entertaining.
Oh, he's got a thing for the senator's daughter, so he does not like that news.
Yeah.
He can't have a human sympathizer.
Does it make a whole lot of sense that a general who absolutely hates humans is in love with the bleeding heart liberal? I mean, do you see... Oh, God. I don't know.
It's
Clint Eastwood falling in love with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
I think it's purely physical.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense.
It's all about urges, you know.
That's right. We're talking about primitive apes.
Exactly. When does King Kong get involved?
I don't know, but now that you mention it, that is one of Rick Baker's first movies. He did King
the
Kong.
The Jessica Lange one?
Yeah. Jeff Bridges, Jessica Lange, Dino De Laurentiis produced King Kong.
Flash. Yeah, I'm a fan of old school Jessica Lange.
I'm even a fan of new school Jessica Lange.
You know what? When she is in American Horror Story, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I fell in love with her as a performer from a distance, obviously. After I saw Cape Fear as a child, I was just like, that is a fucking attractive and talented actor. Back on Dagobah.
Where are the Minox? That are supposed to be flying through.
Right.
That's how big of a Star Wars nerd I am. I just busted out the weird pterodactyl creatures.
And what was the name of the...
And that was off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's weird, the stuff that'll come to you when you're drunk.
Yeah.
I've met people that speak foreign languages only when they're drunk.
Also, rest in peace, Peter Mayhew.
Oh,
Chewie.
Yeah.
Met him at the first Comic-Con I ever went to. Was much friendlier than David Prowse from Clockwork Orange and Darth Vader.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that he was a disappointing meet.
Yeah. I don't know if I've told it on this show or not, because I don't want to repeat myself, but I can make
it. I do it a lot. It's about time you did it too.
Right. So I go to meet David Prowse and get his signature, and, you know, big fan of Star Wars, and you're meeting the Dark Father himself, and his words to me, well, not even to me, it was to his assistant, was, did he pay? He didn't see the money exchange hands, and he wasn't going to sign my book until he made sure that
maybe
the money
it was a
had.
Joke. Maybe he was channeling the Dark Father.
I don't think so.
And he was trying to make you laugh.
And I was just like, cool, thanks. Dave Prowse is Darth Vader. And then we almost hit him with our car a couple years later.
After he wrote that, did you look at it and go, wait, you're Darth Vader?
I thought you were in a Clockwork Orange.
That's right. I thought you were Chewie.
Oh, that's creepy. But yeah, Peter Mayhew was much nicer.
Yeah.
And he just seemed like a goofball. I mean, when you're that size, you kind of you have to have that kind of personality, I feel.
And the number
and
of,
he was in Force Awakens. Like, he played Chewie actually up until Last Jedi.
And consulted on Last Jedi to, like, really help. I forget the name of the new actor who's playing
He's some Dutch or Swedish Scandinavian guy.
And he's not quite as tall. But but he does the role really well. But yeah, he consulted with him to make sure he got the essence of Chewie, because a lot of the tributes that I read from celebrities that knew him and worked with him said, they just pointed out, the man made a performance out of just physical acting. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that when another actor was trying to be Chewie and couldn't pull it off, they had stunt doubles try to do it and they just weren't doing it well. So,
and he survived the Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah. Kudos to everyone who did.
Carrie Fisher was probably on a lot of drugs. And you know what?
And Mark Hamill, I think, was on painkillers after his accident.
We may watch it at some point. It wouldn't surprise me if we do shitty Christmas specials or something on this show. We've done Christmas movies, but I have no shortage of them.
I will say that Harvey Korman's performance did make me chuckle the first time I saw that.
Whipster.
Right. Right, the reveal of singing, the multiple arms coming out. Diana
Carrie
Ross,
Fisher singing. Yeah, there's the weird hologram porn. Which
that's our hologram connection.
Buffalo.
There we go.
We found it.
All right, so now we're back to Mark in Luke Skywalker gear.
Oh, he's reintroducing himself.
This movie has a lot of repetition in it.
Yeah, that's why it's 2 hours.
We're what, halfway through?
Almost.
Almost. Son of a bitch.
Where do we go?
If this is halfway, we're gonna miss the last 20 minutes.
Which would mean we're not missing shit.
Oh, he went for the missile drop kick.
I had a real Jim Carrey, somebody stop me.
Yeah. Vibe. Oh, there's the breakdancers.
Take it easy, little fella. I'm not gonna hurt you.
Is he singing Eagle songs?
I just wanna bash your fucking brains in.
For you, I just wanna bash him the fuck right in. And now we can get into the gun controversy of this film.
Okay. There was a controversy regarding
Tim Roth, you know, because they were doing so many rewrites, because we have a cameo showing up from the original movie.
Yes.
And Tim Roth later said that had he known he was going to be working with Charlton Heston, he would not have done the movie. Tim Roth is very vocally anti-gun in real life. He's had to come to terms with it by going, all right, I shot a fiction film, so I have to just remind myself it's just a movie. And he encourages
also is in Reservoir Dogs, which has a lot of gun violence.
He uses a gun in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
And he
shot me. And I'm bleeding all over the backseat of a car.
Ah, this blood is scaring the fucking shit out of me, Larry. I'm going to die.
Don't use our name. You're not going to die.
Say the fucking words, you're not gonna fucking die.
Tarantino month. Stay tuned.
And I'm looking forward to that.
It'll happen.
We'll drink some red apple whiskey.
There we go.
But yeah, he said that part of the reason he liked the role of Pumpkin / Ringo in Pulp Fiction is that character decides to stop using guns. He goes through a character transformation. And he normally does not like advocating guns or gun violence, but he will do it for certain roles, working with certain people like Tarantino because they're friends and he loves working with Tarantino. But yeah, he said that he... And it's not just that this movie contains guns, but it's almost pro-gun for one scene. It's a very weird scene. And he said that working with Charlton Heston was something he had to come to terms with and just tell himself, all right, you're an actor, you're just two guys in prosthetic makeup doing a scene. But yeah, he regretted this movie a lot for that reason.
This is kind of around Bowling for Columbine, because Charlton Heston was in the Michael Moore documentary in a pretty memorable scene. Because he was the head of the NRA. And
yeah, he was their spokesperson at a time when he was losing it rather rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those of you who are hardcore NRA fans, remember that at one point, your main spokesperson was completely out of his fucking mind.
Soylent Green is people?
Soylent Green is my kind of people.
So, Tim Roth, I can't think of the last thing I've seen him in, but I did watch his TV series, Lie to Me.
It was I haven't seen it yet. I've been wanting to watch it.
It was on Fox. I don't think it's still on. I'm pretty sure that was canceled a long time ago.
Did you see The Hateful Eight?
That I have, yes.
Did you see the extended version of that on Netflix yet?
No.
Even better.
Is it?
I love it. Okay. I think it was
because the regular version was pretty long.
I liked it. And it was long. And the extended version is an extra, I think, 25 minutes of footage I just couldn't use because it was already long enough. Netflix went to Tarantino and said, hey, how would you feel about releasing this as a four-part miniseries? And he loved the idea because it was slightly re-edited.
So I guess
cause different emotional breaks to increase the tension of the movie and the story.
That'd be the last thing I've seen.
And I thought it was excellent. I really, really enjoyed the extended edition more than the original theatrical release. Okay,
good to know. I mean, I own the original. It's over there on the shelf, but I might have to rewatch the extended cut. He was in Twin Peaks when they brought that back, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, Lie to Me ended. Yeah, it was only a 2-season run. I thought I watched the whole thing. 2009 to 2011, 48 episodes. He played a guy who could just read people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting.
He chooses great roles. Did you ever see Bodies Rest in Motion?
No.
Speaking of mumblecore films, it was, I think, 1995. It was one of our Mount Rushmores, Phoebe Cates.
Oh, yes.
And she's got a
brief cameo because she kind of stopped acting.
She's in it. There are four characters in it, mostly three. Tim Roth is back and forth, and he shows up at the end. Tim Roth, Eric Stoltz, who have a great scene together in it. Bridget Fonda, Phoebe Cates.
Eric Stoltz from The Mask.
From The Mask, the drug dealer from Pulp Fiction. At one time, Marty McFly, unfortunately for him.
OG Marty McFly.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Some kind of wonderful. So
here's the notorious scene of which we just were speaking.
Because he plays his dad?
Yeah, I think it's either his dad or his grandpa. I think his dad.
There we go.
It's his dad.
Oh, pound it.
All right, fist pump it.
I don't have much time.
Thank God.
Tell me about this human who troubles you.
And you wouldn't necessarily recognize that as Charlton Heston.
The voice, I think, helps give it away. But yeah, as far as the makeup goes. All right, here's five drinks, because Charlton Heston's here.
He is not born of this world.
I'm looking to see if I can read the contempt behind Tim Roth's eyes, if there's hatred there.
More will come.
He's a good enough actor, he should cover it.
I'm sure that's true. Possibly not. And plus, he's a hateful
character.
Yeah, to begin with. Yeah. He has a very hateful personality.
Something to tell you. Something my father told me.
You see, when two people love each other very much,
only throw the poop with your left hand. Use the right one for the other stuff.
Be a southpaw.
In the time before time.
Wait, when the earth was still flat.
How could there be a time before time?
That makes no sense.
There's a time after time. I mean, Cyndi Lauper taught us that.
There's a time before recorded history. It's called prehistory, but
there's a land before time.
Yes, there were like 11 of those.
Long neck. One of the most sequelized movies of all time. Right. You think it's Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. No, fucking Land Before Time has like 20 goddamn sequels. It's ridiculous.
Good for Don Bluth.
I don't even know if he's attached anymore. That's a bleeding heart.
Break it.
There it is.
Bleeding heart liberals.
That's a flaming heart. It's the opposite.
It's a turnip. Oh.
Hey, those are your mother's ashes.
That was your mother's favorite butt plug.
Did you see the Adam Sandler SNL? There's a great skit.
About a butt plug? I just heard about the Farley tribute.
It's about an erectile dysfunction pill. It's just a butt plug suppository. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I was out drinking at some of our favorite places. I went and saw Avengers Endgame for a second time at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. I'd love
to see it a second time.
And I found $25 in the parking lot on the way back to the car. So it was so weird. I thought it was $5.
I think future you went back in time and planted it there for you.
It's possible. I thought it was a $5 bill. It was folded up and it was like on a curb, kind of. And I looked around, nobody to be seen because we're walking through an alley. And luckily, Brianna wasn't wearing pearls and we didn't have a small child with us. And we didn't see Zorro. We saw the Avengers.
Okay,
so
you were safe.
Yeah, no Batman plan for Jackson. So I see the $5, I pick it up, and I'm like, oh, cool, $5. I unfold it.
Here it comes.
Another five drink. Oh, and the reach forward. One last fist bump. Oh, denied.
Like Tim Roth's like, nah, fuck this. I'm not touching my dying dad.
He left him hanging.
All right, I apologize.
Oh, no, you're fine. So I unfold the $5 bill. There's a 20 in there, too. I'm like, oh, $25. Like, let's go to Bearded Owl.
Nice.
So we walked down there, and we hit Bearded Owl, and then we went next door to 8-Bit and played some video games and had a round. And we also went to Tannins and Hops.
All right.
So, and we had we had lunch at Kelleher's earlier that day. So we literally hit...
You hit all the best places
the water,
in Peoria.
The Water Street, State Street corner that we speak highly of. So, yeah. I took some of that free parking lot money. I'm like, this is not supposed to leave Peoria.
That's like in Monopoly when you play the short version. You land on free parking. You get all the money.
Yep. That's what happened. I parked for free and I got free money. And I bought some beer.
And played some free video games.
What I bought was what we drank last episode.
All right. So I benefited from your finding.
I bought more of it.
Okay.
I got another glass of the Feared and enjoyed that.
Okay, so what are we watching?
Planet of the Apes.
Right.
Hey, we're halfway.
I can't believe we're only halfway. I cannot believe we're only halfway through this movie.
Oh, shit. We're more than halfway through this growler.
Yeah, this movie makes you drink, because you got to do something.
Is that Jaimin Hanzu?
God. So this movie was even shot on the same location in parts, and I believe this is the location, as the original Planet of the Apes. So I don't know why the whole reimagining
right.
is... I don't know why he didn't just go for a flat-out remake.
Those horses are red. Where are the Emperor's guards?
Right.
They totally would fit in with this motif.
Or where are the handmaids?
I haven't seen A Handmaid's Tale.
Have you read the book?
Nope.
It's excellent. It's beautifully written.
I'll probably watch the show first.
Why does he have what's clearly Vlad the Impaler armor from Bram Stoker's Dracula? That's Gary Oldman's Prince Vlad armor right there. That movie came out, like, what, 9 years before this?
Less than that. This is like Lando and Han all over again. One of those apes is going to get the Millennium Falcon.
Hold the charger! I am, sir.
What? Tony Danza.
I thought it was Scott Baio.
No, that's Charles in Charge.
Right.
But I was saying, who's the boss?
Gotcha. I thought that was Bruce Springsteen.
That's true. Him too.
They forgot to put neck makeup on that background, Dave. Did you see that? He just had human skin.
Seriously?
He looks up, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's bad.
Actually, that's a condition that some chimpanzees have called human neck.
That was clearly just a human skin neck. Oh, man. This movie's terrible. More horses.
They're the real
victims here.
Take those saddles off. Liberate them.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Never mind. Okay.
Nope. Enslave them.
All right. Just grab the reins with one hand. You hold on to this horn as tight as you can with the other. We're going to cross the river.
like reaches under, grabs a horse cock. Not that. No, that's not. He's gonna like you now.
The reins, not the veins. Yeah. Yeah, Tim Roth is still the best at mounting horses in this movie. Yeah,
for sure. He did it with panache.
Chutzpah. He had chutzpah. He had chutzpah.
Ape shall not kill ape. They are anti-suicide. Oh, fireworks? Flares?
So I don't know how true this is, but
Planet of the Apes, I thought it was a work of fiction.
Is this a documentary? You had no idea. Shit.
Wow, I just watched the Ted Bundy tapes. I didn't know this was, like, on par with that.
It's more J.J. Abrams lens flares. The beer's kicking in.
Yep. Good.
So, originally...
You're welcome. Thanks, Bearded Owl.
Yes, thank you, Bearded Owl, because, hey, that was one of the aliens from Alien. The Prometheus. Whinnying.
They spelled it weird. So this is from Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, I was already thinking there's some Game of Thrones type stuff. I mean, of course, this came out before that, but...
Have you watched... The new season?
I'm only up to season 3 at this point.
Oh, shit, you have the best stuff to watch
still. Oh, okay, to watch still. Thank God. And for those who are big Game of Thrones fans, I'm not trying to trash your beloved show.
The new season has been kind of phoning it in.
Big fan of... Really? What I've seen. I like a lot of the performances.
Peter
Dinklage
is great.
I like some of the characters. What's that?
Peter Dinklage is great.
Fucking perfect. Tyrion. He is one of my favorite characters and actors in the entire series.
I have a t-shirt and a pint glass that both say, I drink and I know things. Because that is me.
Yeah. And just sort of the I like life approach to life. I love him in it.
Although... I've never fucked a hooker, just to be clear.
Okay.
I relate to Tyrion a lot, but I do not... I haven't paid for...
I've never paid for a
sexual
hooker.
Congress. Also, I'm average height. I used to be short, but I was never diminutive.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
So...
Did you hear about the whole coffee cup controversy?
I think it's hilarious.
It is. And I think it's fucking lazy.
It's hysterical and stupid. And
as an editor, there is no way that should have made it through.
And there are like 3 to 4 editors in a production that big. And you've got color grading.
It's
you've
the
got
biggest
editing,
show on HBO.
Design.
The final episodes and a coffee cup from Craft Services makes it onto a table.
And I don't blame the actor. Whoever was drinking it, they're on set for like half a day.
Oh, they're playing Hi-A-Li with fireballs. So this is in Florida, then.
It's flaming lacrosse.
Yeah.
Which really is all lacrosse.
What is going on?
Monkeys, there I go again. Apes can't swim.
Huh.
Just gorillas growling at each other. That's what we're going to get. So these are the sympathetic gorillas. There was one tribe that is sympathetic to the human cause. And this is how long the movie is. Unnecessarily long.
Boy.
We can give our listeners a quick little synopsis of what they've lost, what they've missed in the last hour, 10 minutes, with a quick recap. He's rescued some humans from the main ape tribe.
And they're on the run.
And they're on the run.
That's it.
They met a sympathetic tribe, and they're helping them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, and he didn't even get to do mouth-to-mouth.
It was probably shot, and then the studio said no.
Yeah. Well, he could have, like, blown on her nostrils, because they're flat, and they're pretty big holes. That actually might have worked better than the mouth.
Flat and pretty big holes. Usually not Mark Wahlberg's type.
But you're hurt. Well, you touching it isn't helping.
Right. Let me massage this hurt part.
She was holding it pretty tight. I'm talking about the horse dicks again.
Yeah, there's a lot of subliminal context to the script here.
Where is he? They crossed the river. He didn't stop them.
I can't swim.
I only doggy paddle.
Horses.
We don't need no stinking horses.
Well, shit. Does he have a booger? What is Michael Clark Duncan looking at? He was like looking up in the
air. Scrolling his eyes, I guess.
And can't make eye contact because it's a sign of dominance, maybe.
Oh, that was in the trailer. I remember that shot.
Oh, really?
Because it's the most impressive performance in the movie is Tim Roth going ape shit.
Ape shit. Oh, here he goes. He's going to mount a horse with panache. In a ball of fire. Look at that. That looks cool. Shit.
Look at that. He saved the movie from being the worst movie I've ever seen.
Now, that was some Ang Lee wire work right there. That was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Horse Mount.
I would even argue that it's a little bit better than...
You think so?
I wasn't a big fan of the Crouching Tiger wire
I've seen
work.
It once. I couldn't tell you much about it.
I felt like you could just see the wires. Not literally, but you could imagine them
now,
being there.
I will say, I love a good martial arts movie.
Yeah.
If you look at my shelves over here, I have numerous. I'm a big Bruce Lee fan, and Jet Li.
Have you seen the trailer for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No.
There's a Bruce Lee, I mean, Bruce Lee is, not Bruce Lee is in it, but a guy right. playing Bruce Lee is in it, and he does an excellent, I mean, perfect okay. Bruce Lee impression.
I've watched Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, more times than any human should.
I don't know. I'm fist bumping, because I feel the same way.
It's a great movie.
Excellent movie.
Jason Scott Lee as Bruce Lee.
Yep. It took some liberties, of course.
Oh, for sure.
Of course, it took some liberties. Many Hollywood movies do. But if you're a Bruce Lee fan and you haven't seen that movie,
I have books
see
that he wrote, like his philosophies.
Do you have the Tao of Jeet Kune Do?
No, I don't think that's what
it's
they're
good.
Called. But yeah, I've got a book called Be Like Water.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another one. It's like The Tao of Lee or something like that. But. Yeah, just I'm a big fan of martial arts culture, but Jet Li's Hero is
Hero
probably
is excellent.
If I have to like recommend one movie, it's not going to be Crouching Tiger. It's
yeah.
like watch Hero. That yeah. movie is a masterpiece.
It was aesthetically beautiful,
yeah.
a great story. I think that they kind of not copied, but I think that Akira Kurosawa's Rashomon was a big influence on the movie, and it was it was excellent at paying homage to it without like ripping it off.
Yeah,
I really loved Hero. If you haven't seen Rashomon, check that out. Akira Kurosawa was an excellent filmmaker.
And you know, as stupid as it is to say, I was hesitant to watch it. Because of the title, but I do love family movies. Kung Fu Panda was so much better than I expected it to be when I watched it the first time. Because like, it's Jack Black playing a panda who does martial arts. Whatever, this is gonna be stupid, and I actually enjoyed it. So
I really enjoyed the humor, the animation.
Yeah.
I did take a little bit of issue with inconsistencies to true.
Oh, for
Kung
sure.
Fu.
Yeah. And I've seen Wu-Tang live. So I'm like hardcore. They reanimated ODB's corpse and had him over in the corner. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. No. I think they just had somebody take his verses. But I have actually seen Wu-Tang. We're trying to find anything to talk about except this movie.
Now we're seeing what's supposed to be a little bit of a visual reference to the Statue of Liberty, which ends up having nothing to do with the Statue of Liberty.
Okay, that's what I was getting. It seems kind of...
Nope, it was just something for the marketing.
Helmety.
So that we'd read through Entertainment Weekly and see
I used to have
pictures.
A subscription. From junior high.
I bought the issue that promoted this movie. Like, because I was excited about this movie.
They got
super excited about this movie.
The way Entertainment Weekly got me was there was a CD that they put out, you know, back when CDs were a thing. I still buy them, but nobody else does. It was called 80s Explosion, and it was a 2-disc set full of great 80s classics, and you got it free with a subscription to Entertainment Weekly. I was probably 6th or 7th grade, and I bought a subscription, and I continued it throughout high school into my adult years, and that was like that was my jam. That was my favorite weekly periodical.
Yeah, throughout high school, I had a my closet doors were just a giant collage of my favorite movies and images from my favorite movies, and I would just buy Entertainment Weeklies and read them, and you know, cut out pictures from the magazine and put it up on my awesome little collage of what's this?
Kalima.
Oh, we're gonna find out what Kalima stands for.
California lemon.
Yep.
Oh
no, caution.
Live animals.
Yeah.
All right, we're in a zoo.
For some reason, the chimps never thought to just brush away the dust. As they have an advanced civilization, and they just never thought to take a brush and brush away the other letters. So Kalima is what they came up with. Because they could read.
Right.
But they couldn't brush away dust. It's kind of like, speaking of M. Night Shyamalan, dude, the aliens and signs, who could travel through space, but not open doors.
Swing away, Meryl.
Swing away. Again, I liked that movie most.
And then the Joker took a baseball bat and went ham.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it looks dark as shit.
And it's inspired by Martin Scorsese films, and De Niro's even in it.
I can see that, because I avoided the trailer. I always see these trailers pop up on Facebook and social media, and I will not watch them. And I will try to avoid reading about them until I see them in a theater, because I go to enough films that I know I'm going to see them in their intended.
Yeah.
You know,
I try to do that, but I am an addict. So I just end up watching the trailers.
I would just, you know, it was so much more impressive on a big giant screen than it would be on my iPhone. Right. So
I will say this for myself. Oberon. I won't watch a trailer on this phone. I will go to an actual screen and watch a trailer.
This is all that monkey's fault. Oh, see, that just chipped away real easy.
Yeah, and here we see more snow on a monitor.
Informer. She told me about the apple blam.
Licky boom boom, boom, boom down. Hey, that was just the, he's looking for aliens.
That's Dan Aykroyd from Nothing But Trouble.
That's the judge, you're right.
He's got the hot dog wiener nose.
The little whatever that is detector off of the left is what they use in Aliens to look for aliens that are coming. So now we're getting the backstory. An hour and what, a half into the movie?
Hour 15.
Oh my,
you're being generous.
You've got to be kidding me. This is 2 hours long?
Brianna just messaged me and I'm like, she's off work and I'm like, we're suffering through this movie.
Oh.
That's the lady from Ellen that was in Dexter that was on with the chimps earlier. So they all got old.
She was familiar.
Yeah,
so the wormhole wasn't just traveling through space. It was traveling through time. And it turns out that the astronauts who went through the wormhole also went back in time a little bit. Or at least they went to regular time. He went through into the future when he went through the wormhole. Because, like, whatever it was, 5 minutes in his time ended up being...
Right.
And this doesn't make any sense.
It's like 3,000 Ant-Man.
It's just like Ant-Man. In 3,000 years.
Wait, you mean Back to the Future was a bunch of bullshit?
Yeah, they should have mentioned Planet of the Apes in that.
Yeah.
Movie. All right, so... In 3,000 years, ape has advanced to the... They've evolved to being this intelligent. It took Homo sapiens on Earth...
Send them all back.
What? 1.5 million years?
Something like
roughly,
that.
Roughly, to go from first hominids to agriculture. In fact, Tim Burton did consult. He met with a very well-known astrophysicist and anthropologist to make this movie. He didn't talk to him. Just kicked him in the nuts, ran away, and left him with the tab. But he did consult with them.
Well, you know what it's time for? It's time for Seth to have a monologue, because I have to take a bathroom break. So, Seth, the microphone is yours.
All right.
Enjoy your filibuster.
All right. I'm going to talk about what could make this movie about 100 times better. Anything. Anything could make this movie way better than it is, right now. We have the most basic possible plot with no story development, no character development. The only characters that do realize anything are the humans who find out what happened. So for a social commentary, this movie is an absolute failure. Nobody has any actual revelation as to who they are or what they could be, because Paul Giamatti and Tim Burton decided that the one character who could evolve, no pun intended, did not have any self-revelation at all whatsoever. So we have this bleeding heart liberal ape who already knows what she already knew. We have a tribe of apes that are not in any way learning anything new. They just knew that humans are, you know, human. So really the movie shows nothing, solves nothing, and does nothing to meet the agenda that it kind of claimed to have as it came out. Possibly the worst social commentary I've ever seen in cinema.
Watch all break up and scatter.
And that was I'll draw them off. Soapboxing with Seth here on Drunk at the Movies.
And you can find that anytime you have a conversation with me. Wait, I looked down.
Come on. We're putting pictures on Twitter.
No, no. Drunk Twittering with Dustin and Seth.
40 minutes to go, folks.
That can't be true.
It is, though. That's including credits.
Okay, well, I'm hoping that there's 20 minutes of credits for the CGI. Wait, there was no CGI.
No,
you're
there
in
wasn't.
Prosthetics.
Yeah,
son of a
practical
bitch.
Effects. Oh, I just realized you're kind of attractive. Oh, and she's jealous. She's like, I'm too hairy down there. He'll never be interested in me.
Yeah. She plucks her eyebrows.
Right.
But nothing else.
Right.
So, Limbo. Paul Giamatti's character.
Yes. Stop. Not just a Chubby Checker song.
Scott Bakula was considered.
Oh, really? Oh, boy.
That would have made no sense
no,
at all
it
whatsoever.
Wouldn't.
I love Scott Bakula.
I do.
I fucking love Scott Bakula. That
Scott Bakula is great.
No sense.
He was also in the TV show Chuck.
I missed that. I actually never watched Chuck. I think I saw one episode.
I own the whole series on DVD, and I highly recommend it.
Two actors considered for Thade, Johnny Depp, no surprise, and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Wait, Johnny Depp was going to work with Tim Burton?
Who would have thought?
Wow.
My face is white with shock. As white as Johnny Depp's face in any Tim Burton movie. Tim Roth actually suffered for this movie, not just his
bank account.
Yeah. Or self-esteem. But by the end of the shoot, he had trapped nerves and two herniated vertebrae.
Oh,
shit. Because of the prosthetics, he said, weren't a big deal. But all of the armor and the ape costume was apparently difficult. He's not a very hulking person.
Right.
No pun intended, because he was the Abomination in The Incredible Hulk. Again, he was excellent in The
Incredible
Hulk.
Was he the Abomination of Obama's Nation? That's a Kanye lyric.
Yeah, I know.
He also has a lyric, scoop diddy poop da whoop whoop. I think that's a more recent one. Yeah.
Even when you were a child, you took in three humans.
I used to like your Kanye. I don't know what happened. I take that back. I used to like Kanye's music.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I mean, even his personality 10 years ago was like, all right, he's interesting. Let's see what he has to say next. Once he went to full current administration support, yeah, I think he's pretty much lost any support that he ever had. Originally, Thade here was supposed to be a white gorilla.
Is this another finger-sucking scene?
I think it's a hand-branding scene. I think it's going to turn real quick from sexual to straight-on sadism.
Oh. Well, I mean, if you're into it, whatever, but...
Yep. She's not.
No, she doesn't appear to be.
Then where they must.
Oh, shit. He just Joe Pesci'd her. Home Alone style.
Resurrect.
Die with Her Friends Tomorrow.
Isn't that the title of a James Bond movie?
Uh-huh.
Die with Your Friends Tomorrow?
If not, it should be.
Why did that deserve an ominous musical score? It's just Mark Wahlberg on a horse doing nothing. Looking around.
Hey.
That looks like the Statue of Liberty.
For the people who maybe haven't seen the original, we keep talking about the Statue of Liberty and doing our five drinks every time it's shown. Or at least I am.
Hey, I have two. every time it's shown. I just thought, okay, no, I haven't been keeping up.
The people...
Can't get over the nothing but trouble prosthetic.
I know, man. I'm telling you. And you know who's in that movie? Digital Underground.
Yeah.
With Tupac Shakur.
They get killed.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It's the same old song. Demi Moore, John Candy. And I own that movie for this podcast. When I created this show, I was like, that movie's gonna come up at some point. You know, like movies that have great actors but are pieces of shit. You know?
And it has so many great actors.
It does.
Who directed it? Was it Ivan Reitman? Probably. I feel like it was somebody actually good that shouldn't have
done. I don't think it was Harold Ramis. Because Bill Murray's not in it. But yeah, it's a turd. And my daughter's mother grew up loving that movie. And I was like, are we talking about the same film? Like, it's kind of messed up. Like, there are so many... It's going to have to be watched on this show. There's no way around it.
I don't know. I think I swore that I would never watch it again, but... Oh.
I spent $355 on it. Who directed it?
Dan Aykroyd.
Okay. That makes more sense then, I think.
Yeah, it makes sense, but it also shouldn't.
He's like, hey, I just did Spies Like Us. That was a huge hit.
And that was Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
And Ivan Reitman is a great director.
Because Chevy Chase is in the movie too, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love Spies Like Us. That is a very underrated comedy. I
respect your courage. Kroll? The Conqueror?
I think so. I think that's being remade too.
With Kevin Sorbo?
I hope so. Where I'm thinking of Skrull. Never mind. So this is the part that I thought there were going to be holograms. Instead, we're just getting the Terminator font.
Yeah, that's not cool.
So Mark Wahlberg just realized that the ship still has fuel. That's not the first thing he checked for some reason.
All right, there's one possibility, but that's it. We gotta draw him in close.
And then all those people behind the ship, it'll be a happening. Be
seen. Yeah, this is exactly his performance in The Happening.
You're gonna be on horseback in front of the ship.
I don't know. I believe him more as a public school science teacher than I do as one of the most important astronauts in 2029.
All right, we got one shot. Let's go.
All right, quick. The trees are blowing wind towards us.
She's like, I'm gonna fuck that human. That she's just always hiding in the shadows, trying to figure out how she's gonna get that dick.
Everybody, get back behind the ship.
All right, I'm looking up Mark Wahlberg's IMDb filmography here,
and
we'll go through because, like,
this is one of his early like big hits, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll start at the beginning and work our way up. So New Kids on the Block, Step by Step, was one of his first appearances in a video. And then
I forgive you.
And then the Marky Mark videos.
I forgive you.
He played himself on the Ben Stiller Show in 1993.
Okay, that makes him awesome. Because the Ben Stiller Show was an excellent sketch comedy show.
I own it. Aside from music videos, that is his first credit. The Ben Stiller Show.
That's where it began.
Bob Odenkirk, Ben Stiller, Janine Garofalo, and
David
Andy
Cross
Dick.
Got his start at the end of the Ben Stiller Show.
Yeah. All right. So it started with the Ben Stiller Show. Then The first movie I remember him being in was a Danny DeVito vehicle, 1994's Renaissance Man.
I remember that coming out.
Okay. Then followed...
That was... It was a military 90, thing.
94,
it
a, yeah. It's yeah. a military movie. Followed that with 1995, The Basketball Diaries, mm-hmm. with Leonardo with DiCaprio. DiCaprio and Jim Carroll, based yeah. on his life. Those are people who died. Then the movie which featured him fingering Reese Witherspoon on a roller coaster, Fear.
I forgot about Fear.
He played a bad boy.
Yeah.
Then he was in Traveler. I don't know that one, but it looks like Bill Paxton was in it.
Okay.
Then Dirk Diggler, Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Then The Big Hit. This is a movie I totally forgot about. I saw it in the theater, and it is an over-the-top camp action movie that I really enjoyed.
Is that the one?
I think Lou Diamond Phillips is in it, too.
That's not what I was thinking of.
Let me go with him.
No. Yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips, Christina Applegate, Mark Wahlberg. It's it has a higher rating than this one does. But yeah, and then we go on to The Corruptor, Three Kings. That's a solid movie. The Perfect Storm mm-hmm. with George Clooney. And then he did this movie.
Yeah.
Then he did Rockstar.
I had totally forgotten that Boogie Nights was before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Boogie Nights has really launched him into fame. Mm-hmm. He was great in it. I think he's actually a good actor.
Truth About Charlie, The Italian Job is one of my favorite heist movies.
Yeah.
I Heart Huckabees, Four Brothers.
He was actually excellent in I Heart Huckabees, which people have different views of that movie.
Right.
I enjoyed the movie. I do think David O. Russell was kind of a complete piece of shit when he made it. Oh, here we go. Here, this is actually pretty cool. Seeing the quadrupedal movement of the apes in this shot right here. And I remember seeing a behind-the-scenes thing when this came out.
Oh, no, the horse!
These were stunt people who learned how to run on all fours. And the way they made it look so fast is they put them on conveyor belts like you see at the airport for these long shots, for these wide shots. And so they're quadrupeding on conveyor belts to make it look like they're running really fast. And I think it works.
So yeah, and then he did a Disney movie, Invincible, The Departed, Shooter, then The Happening, Max Payne, Date Night, The Other Guys wasn't that great. He was himself in Entourage, and he's a producer on that.
Yeah.
So like, it was...
He's got hits and misses.
It was like the end of the 2000s. He started kind of going down, but I thought he was funny in Ted.
Yeah.
The Fighter was great. Lone Survivor, he did a Transformers movie. Daddy's Home is pretty enjoyable, too.
I didn't see that one.
Him and Will Ferrell and John Cena was
that's
Broadway.
Pretty much a family movie, right?
It is.
And I don't have kids of my own.
I think
I have nieces and nephews.
You could enjoy it even without, if you appreciate Will Ferrell. I guess.
Oh, they just blew up a bunch of apes.
Oh, shit.
Flaming apes.
Flaming ape. Oh, that's fun. Look at him fall.
I know.
it's like confetti.
It would be dramatic and traumatizing if it weren't so hilarious.
Yeah, but then they show like rocks hitting the other apes, but the only thing being blown through the air earlier was corpses.
I once had diarrhea that bad.
Oh, horse is not a fan.
Looks like the horse from House 2.
Hey, funny story about the movie House.
I'm going to let you...
Yeah, not the Hugh Laurie TV show. There was once in a grocery store plaza for County Market here in our town. There was a video store in the same plaza, and they had their videos had these little circular tags that would hang on a hook in front of the video. So it wasn't like most places where you just take the DVD or VHS from behind the box. They had these pull tabs. And apparently somebody moved tabs from place to place because I picked a Disney sing-along songs VHS because I was a kid. But apparently the tag that was in front of that movie was for the movie House 2. And I handed it to my parents. They didn't bother to check it, apparently. And they checked out the videos. And when we got home, I wanted to watch my Disney sing-along video. And instead, we had a horror movie that I was unable to watch. And I was severely bummed about that. So much so that I actually remember this event over 30 years after it happened. And this is the kind of memory that I have been blessed / cursed with. But, you know, I guess it makes for fairly interesting anecdotes while watching a fight scene in Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. Seth is now urinating because neither one of us could make it through this without a break. There's still 20 minutes left, too. It's ridiculous. I have a children's birthday party to go to later, and as horrible as that sounds at times, it sounds better than watching this again.
So the last thing I heard you say was County Market.
Yeah.
And I have to tell the very quick story of my family's experience, first experience of moving to Pekin. We were driving around the town, like, all right, what is Pekin, Illinois? And we drove by County Market, which has a giant lit up sign that says County Market, total now discount foods. Food basket.
A value check.
It's something else.
Our friend Zach.
Who has been on the show
before. Who has been on the show at your first appearance, and it recently was the anniversary of that recording. Facebook told me so.
But anyway, I got to tell the story. The sign was lit up, said County Market, total discount foods, and all the letters had gone out that it spelled Cunt Mart, total disco. So my introduction to Pekin was giant red letters that said Cunt Mart, total disco.
That's awesome. I never saw that.
I loved it. I was like, all right, this is my home.
Zach,
I live in the total disco of Cunt Mart.
Our friend Zach has worked there since high school and has gone through so many different ownerships and transfers, but that's where he works, and it is now value check. But yeah, they had at one time there was like a Godfather's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
There was a video store. There was a whole bunch of stuff inside that plaza, and none of it's there anymore.
This fight scene makes no sense. Who opens a fight scene with jumping towards each other unless you're playing Mortal Kombat 2 as a novice?
This is pretty brutal. Oh, he gone.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be two of the most powerful apes.
That was like a Brock Lesnar fight. Oh.
Did I hear a Wilhelm scream that also had the Doppler effect?
I think you may have.
A Doppler Wilhelm. That's what a movie needs.
Fucking stupid helmets. And maybe that's their purpose. They can use them as a blunt object to stab people.
I wish they used them as a blunt. That's the only thing that would make this movie better at this point.
I just keep having flashbacks to Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's like Caiaphas and Annas.
Good Caiaphas, the council waits for you. And now I just want to watch Jeepers Creepers Semi-Star.
Yeah.
Best skits of all time. He's going
to gouge his eyes out and look for a soul. Oh, there's a sonic boom.
Gaia showed up. Not Gaia. What's Gaia? What's the Sonic Boom from Street Fighter.
Oh, I never played Street Fighter.
Gyla?
Jean-Claude Van Damme's in the movie. And Raul Julia in his final performance.
Yeah, and he owned the performance. He actually showed up on set feeling very sick, but would, like, rile himself up for the performance because he was a master. Now we get a flaming star ride.
It's Captain Marvel.
So last night I was at Target. My girlfriend and I were shopping around the electronics section, and they had one of those movement detecting gizmos that would start singing. So Gizmo started singing the Mogwai song. We walked away and then went to all the monitors that were on a synchronized TV show. Okay. And it made me think of the end of Gremlins, and I thought that Spike was going to show up and kill me out of nowhere. It was very creepy.
Oh shit, is it the monkey? He finally arrived?
Yeah, so here we get, what was the name of his chimp?
Caesar.
Sure, we'll take it. Yeah, so Caesar, Blue Eyes, shows up right now.
Mojo Jojo.
So wait a minute. I thought that his chimp went back in time and began the civilization.
Right.
So how is his chimp now showing up again?
Right.
Or is it a different chimp? But a different chimp didn't go. It was just his chimp.
Seamus.
Oh, all right.
He's the chosen one?
How do they know it's Seamus?
Right? Because he has astronaut gear.
Okay.
They're like,
his shirt reminds me of Richard Pryor's shirt in The Toy when the piranhas ate him.
Yeah, when he runs across the water like Jesus.
When Jesus is across the water. Wait, the logo for the Oberon little spaceship space shuttle there looks just like, maybe I'm wrong, oh god, the Mirror Universe ISS Terran logo in Star Trek. So you there's know, your second Star Trek reference.
We mentioned The Toy. I don't think I said on the show, Teresa Ganzel, who played Fancy Bates, fucking liked a couple of my tweets.
Yep.
So thank you very much. I told her we gave her a lot of compliments and shout-outs and tips of the cap on that episode, and she responded with a like. So, Seth, what I take that as is she was happy that we appreciated her fine female form in the 80s, and it made us the men we are today.
Did we also, and by we, I mean you, I mean our show, did it also send a tweet to Leah Thompson?
It did. I did.
I'm guessing that Leah Thompson is so used to it, she was like, oh, great.
She did not respond.
Two middle-aged losers doing a podcast again.
Which, you know, I've already said she's on my Mount Rushmore, so
right.
That would have been something if Leah would have responded. But you know what? I'm more than happy with Teresa Ganzel commenting. Accomplished voice actress, which I appreciate as a fan of animation. Oh, Macho Man elbow drop. No, that's like a moonsault.
that was a fucking impressive little flip he did there.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, Seamus saved the day.
Oh, no, you don't punch Seamus. Oh, you just done a bad thing.
So,
are we supposed to be, like, scared right now?
I think... I don't know if we're supposed to be pro-gun or anti-gun at this point.
Oh, Seamus is going to get the gun, right? Is that how it's going to end?
I think so.
Seamus grabs it.
And... All right, here's another poll. What's the best song based on guns? Janie Got a Gun.
Okay,
Johnny Got His Gun.
One by Metallica.
One by Metallica. God, there are two others that I was thinking of, and now I can't think of the names of them. Annie, get your gun.
Seamus, he broke his ankle.
He's going to be rushed to the hospital now in his monkey
outfit.
Exactly,
Michael Clark Duncan style.
Oh, he figured it out. Or did he finger it out?
Yeah, he did.
Never look down the barrel of a gun, Thades.
No, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of gun songs. I'm looking up on my Spotify thing to see, like, how many songs with the word gun.
Well, I'm thinking specifically of titles that say Get Your Gun or Got... Oh, Get Your Gun by Marilyn Manson. That's the last one I was thinking of. Get Your Gun, Janie's Got a Gun, Andy Get Your Gun, or Johnny's Got a Gun. Which is the best gun song?
And Janie's Got a Gun is pretty deep because it touches on several social issues.
It does.
Like molestation and gun violence.
That's probably like Aerosmith's deepest track.
Oh, you don't think Pink is there?
Love in an Elevator. Never mind. Forgot about that one.
Pink is my favorite crayon.
Going down.
You can't forget the
Never mind. After. Dude Look Like a Lady. That's the best. That's the deepest Aerosmith song.
All right. So at Disney World, they have the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. And
that still happens?
It is a fun roller coaster. What it is basically, you go into this thing. It looks like a Hard Rock Cafe. It's got this giant electric guitar out front.
Or Revolution X.
Yeah. And you go in, and what's funny is they have this video before you board. And fucking Ken Marino from The State is video playing a studio engineer. I got so excited with it. I'm like, it's Ken Marino! Right,
that gives it.
And he doesn't have any lines, but it's him. And basically, you get to join Aerosmith in their stretch limo. Joan Cusack is their tour manager. No, I take that back. Ileana Douglas, not Joan Cusack.
Ooh.
Yeah, so see, you got Ken Marino and Ileana Douglas.
Oh, man, she might be on my Mount Rushmore.
You think so?
She's one of those actors that I forget about that I'm like, wait a minute.
Okay. Stir of Echoes. She made Kevin Bacon go all crazy. And you ride this roller coaster to the venue, but it goes from like 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds, and you do loops. And what's cool is they play Aerosmith music during the roller coaster.
With a Star Trek reference, we just had a little I am and always will be your friend kind of moment.
Oh, bye bye.
Or I will and always be your frenemy.
She's like, yeah. Oh, well, that's right. Impressive.
Just because. Just why not do a backflip?
Yeah, just keeps doing it.
Right.
The definition of insanity is to do the same thing time after time and expect a different result, but I think he's going insane.
Like a podcast?
Yeah. We keep watching bad movies expecting them to be good.
The toy surprised us.
The toy did. That was guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
This was questionable remakes.
There's no question. It was completely unnecessary.
This is a shit month.
Terrible.
We'll watch some entertaining movies.
So the smoke clears again, and now he's hiding under a coffee table.
Like Gary and Wyatt in Weird Science, but there is no Kelly LeBrock to bust through a door in her underwear.
All we have is HBC in an ape costume.
Not the same. Man, if I hadn't had John Hughes movies and I had to watch this for, like, poking my sexuality.
I'm glad that our our Tim Burton experiences in our childhood were
Pee-wee's Big Adventure
and Beetlejuice. Yeah. Like, we had good Tim Burton movies. I don't think he made another good movie after the 80s until
Big Fish. I liked.
I didn't care for Big Fish.
Ed Wood is okay.
Ed Wood was good. I actually really liked Sweeney Todd, and I'm not a big fan of musicals. As far as musicals go, that's an entertaining, weird, comedic, dark musical. And he was actually the perfect choice for that. I didn't see Dumbo, did you?
Yes, that was actually something I was going to mention. And it's okay. Alice in Wonderland, Disney.
I didn't even bother.
I didn't care for. This was my favorite Tim Burton Disney movie.
Okay. I feel like you're being very kind.
Nightmare Before Christmas doesn't count.
Part of the reason it doesn't count is he didn't even write it. It was a vague idea of his, and he produced it. He had nothing to do with the writing or the direction. He and the director actually didn't get along during the movie.
She's going
to
fuck the chimp now. She's like, well, I thought you were cute until Seamos. And now I'm going to get that.
Is Seamos going to start singing Crazy?
No one ever gonna survive.
No, I was thinking of
maybe you're crazy. Oh, well, that's CeeLo.
CeeLo. It's a different.
I was doing Seal.
I only know Kiss from a Rose.
And you know what? Crazy is one of those songs from the early 90s that still holds up.
Yeah.
Like that could come out today and I would be like, this is a good jam. Timeless. Good job, Seal. You had one.
I still like Kiss from a Rose.
Batman Forever. I don't know, man.
It was better than Batman and Robin.
It was. I buried my grandfather the day I saw Batman and Robin, and that movie put me in a worse mood.
I buried my childhood the day that I saw Batman and Robin.
And even Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl with nipples wasn't enough to cheer me up.
The best thing about that movie was the ending credits for two reasons. Smashing Pumpkins, and the movie was over.
They have mucus in her.
Rick Baker to you.
Yeah.
But I think Smashing
Pumpkins was the best part of that movie.
A little peck here.
I don't blame it on George Clooney. Oh,
That's it. That's the human simian kiss that we get. Yeah. Apparently,
there's Tim no Burton, face fucking at all.
In I almost this movie. Said Richard Burton. I wish he had directed this movie. It would have been totally fucking different.
It would have.
No, Tim Burton wanted there to be a more intimate kiss. He had a thing for like a simian human connection. I'd like to
thank you. I've never looked at an ape of any kind and been like, man, what I wouldn't do to that.
I'd look at an apricot.
I could eat a peach for hours.
All right, kid.
Thank you for fixing that weird thing that I just said.
Who wants to buy some aspirin and all the children come running? What is that?
God, Tim Burton is weird in all the wrong ways.
The Candyman. The Candyman. We did Willy Wonka already. That's the Candyman of this world.
Like Richard Pryor in the Muppet movie, selling ice cream like it's crack.
Poor Charlie Bucket has to buy aspirin from an orangutan in this world. Grandpa Joe, I got one. I got the golden aspirin.
Man, Grandpa Joe was an asshole.
And he's just like, deuces, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Right, I'm going back to my regular planet.
It's like, Acela Warren, you're attractive, but I can probably find somebody just like you on
Earth. Go fuck a monkey.
Yeah. And Ape Lady.
All right, so apes and humans have connected, and they're going to live together in peace and harmony. He's leaving
Seamos behind.
Ebony and Ivory. I was not making a racial...
Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder.
...thing there.
Is the movie over?
Nope.
Oh, we still have some time left.
We have the resolution. We still have Act 3.
Oh, yeah.
That was very Millennium Falcon. I don't think that in 2029 those switches would work that way. I feel like that Statue of Liberty was just flipping us off.
I think this whole movie's been
Flight of the Navigator.
Been flipping us off the whole time. Paul Rubens. Yeah. I'm okay.
Hey, Mark. You want to go back home?
I always want to take the S off his name for some reason and turn him into a sandwich. I don't mean to do that. Sorry, Paul.
I'm a fan of corned beef as much as the next guy.
It's got sauerkraut, too, though, right?
I think so.
I'm not a big fan of sauerkraut, even though I'm very much German. All right, so he goes from the year, whatever it was, 50-something, back to 2029. And the last thing that we saw Thade doing, or Thade, whatever the fuck his name is, was hiding underneath a desk.
Right.
And now we have him blowing up Alderaan again.
Approaching Earth orbit.
Oh, it's we're back crescent. To a planet with one moon.
Yeah, crescent moon.
Wait a minute. The moon and Earth wouldn't have the same highlights right now. That makes no sense.
No. Or does it?
It depends on Earth's orbit. Or its axial tilt, I mean.
Oh, here he comes. Washington, D.C. We're coming in hot. He's going to land at the Lincoln Memorial.
No, dude, I haven't seen it yet. Don't give it away.
Well, no, that's the reflecting pool. Forrest Gump is up there giving a speech about Vietnam.
So the first time I saw this movie in the theater, I was hanging out with my brother. We went and saw this thinking, all right, this is going to be a good movie. And by now we'd given up, obviously.
Oh, of course.
And we both, at this point, just kept sighing, going, all right, show us. We get it. We know. We know what's going to happen. Just show us.
Just do it.
We know.
They're going to turn the Great Emancipator into a fucking chimp.
Yeah.
And this is what Kevin Smith had a problem with, because in a comic book that he wrote about Jay and Silent Bob...
Big surprise. There it
is. He did this at the end of the comic book as a joke. And it was like 3 years later this movie came out. And Kevin Smith made reference to it. They already... Him and Tim Burton already had history because of Superman.
Yeah.
So this whole thing comes out and he makes a comment about like, well, you know, I saw the end of Planet of the Apes and, you know, seems kind of similar. You know, maybe I'll contact my lawyers about possibly suing. Not really being serious, but the story got legs.
Oh, God. Real quick, these police helmets are the Starship Troopers helmets.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I saw that movie in the theaters, too. in PH before his comeback, and a naked Denise Richards, I think. So anyways, Tim Burton responded to Kevin Smith's initial comments by saying, "Anybody that knows me knows I don't read comic books." And
because he's a jock. I don't know if people knew that, but right. He was a jock in high school.
And I especially wouldn't read anything that was created by Kevin Smith, was his exact quote. So that further perpetuated the beef between Tim Burton and Kevin Smith.
As it should.
Which, again, if you take Kevin Smith, a script of Superman Lives that he wrote, which Tim Burton passed on.
Which was great. It was a great script.
Kevin Smith will sign it. Fuck Tim Burton, Kevin Smith.
And, all right, Tim Burton had a pretty big impact on our childhoods. I gotta say, and I don't normally say this, but I've been drinking. He's on my top three overrated directors list.
Yeah.
I don't think that Tim Burton is nearly the genius people credit him as being.
I totally agree with you.
Since this movie came out. Like, yeah. I have long been like, Tim Burton, Brian De Palma, Joel Schumacher.
Not a huge Scarface fan?
I actually don't like Scarface at all.
Yeah.
I like a couple of parts of the movie are okay.
I think it's a bit overrated myself. It's
way over the top. I do love Al Pacino, but it began his hoo-ah. It began him. All right. Michael Corleone in Godfather 3 is nothing like Michael Corleone in Godfathers 1 and 2. He is a completely different character because Al Pacino found his new voice, and I hate his new voice. It usually doesn't work.
Let's find our point where Tim Burton lost the plot. You ready to go through it?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to... I say a movie.
Okay.
You say on board or off board.
Okay.
All right.
Or overboard.
Right. With Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
On board.
On board. Beetlejuice.
On board. On board.
Batman.
On board. Board.
Edward Scissorhands.
On board. Board.
Batman Returns.
On board.
On board. Ed Wood.
On board. On board-ish.
Mars Attacks.
Actually, I'm on board with that
I am too. I saw it in the theater. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Me too. All right.
1999. 20 years ago, our graduating year. This may be it. Sleepy Hollow.
Off board. Yep. Way the fuck off board. That's, and overboard.
That's where it happened. Sleepy Hollow. I
remember seeing it in the theater and going, wait a minute. Did Tim Burton get too big for his own shoes? And ever since then, I will give him Sweeney Todd. Aside from that.
So Sleepy Hollow, yep. I was off board.
That's where I was.
Like, I had an incredibly cute date production. To that movie. And that wasn't enough to save it.
Yep.
Planet of the Apes, we already know. Big Fish, I liked, you didn't.
Off board.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, fuck no.
Off board.
Corpse Bride,
off board.
Not a fan. Sweeney Todd, you're back on. That's 2007.
That's his one.
And then again, Alice in Wonderland, off board. No. Dark Shadows,
off board.
No. Frankenweenie,
off
no.
Board.
Big Eyes, I never saw.
I didn't bother.
Okay. And then Dumbo, I saw and it's like, meh. So,
I'm not going to see it.
That means the last movie of his I really enjoyed, 1996 for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Why is he still making movies?
That's fewer than half for me
of
his movies that I really respect and appreciate. And even... Here's the thing with the Batman. With Batman and Batman Returns, for what they were
the credits are rolling, by the way. We're out of our misery, just in case you guys were wondering.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's about time it's over. I really liked them for what they were at the time, but they still, when I look back and watch them now as an adult, I love them because they were revolutionary in a way at the time. They still didn't really capture what Batman was always meant to be. Mm-hmm. They really didn't capture his detective skills. They were really quite campy, even for the time, looking back. It was better than the Adam West series, Burt Ward series that we had as kids. But it really still, I don't think a good Batman movie has been done yet. The best they've come.
Oh, I don't know if I would say that.
Oh, I do not like the Christopher Nolan movies.
Where's the trigger?
I
don't like Christian Bale's Batman
voice. Not just his Batman voice. I don't like the movies. I think that Dark Knight had some really cool moments. Okay. As a film, I don't think it was a well-done movie.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for the good Batman
Hot
movie.
Hot take.
Yeah. All right. And
I mean, you are in a room filled with Batman iconic.
And I know that many listeners of ours will be like, fuck you, Seth. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And I think that you're wrong. I don't think a good Batman movie has yet been made, unless it was
not animated. Even Batman 66.
Oh, that was excellent. Some days you can't get rid of a bomb. Which, by the way, is the line that made my girlfriend and I fall in love.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll spare you the details. I'll just let you know.
Well,
that happened.
I have Adam West's biography signed. So
that's I do love Adam West as a person. Burt Ward's kind of weird.
Yeah. Adam West was my OG Batman. Like, I watched those before Michael Keaton.
Yeah. I love the camp of the series and everything. But yeah, I'm still waiting for a good. But you know who's doing it next? Matthew Vaughn.
Okay.
Is in All charge. Right. For last I heard, he's in charge of the next Batman franchise. Now I'm excited.
Well, we got one more song for you. It's the closing credits. This is a pretty quick one. It is from a band I've been a fan of for many years, and their live performances are quite interesting if you have a chance to enjoy one. They don't really tour much anymore. Mindless Self-Indulgence from their second album, Frankenstein Girls Will Seem Strangely Sexy. This is Planet of the Apes here on Drunk at the Movies.
Glasses are empty.
They are empty. We have a little bit left.
Just a little bit more, just so we can drink to the experience that was 2001's Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
A movie that I don't need to watch it ever again.
Yeah.
I bought it for the podcast. I will probably put a dollar sticker on it and put it in my garage sale and take the $2.50 loss.
Yeah. As you, I'm sure, realize listening to this podcast, we will not miss this movie. It does not need to be viewed ever again.
No.
It's going in the vault of unnecessary films.
But you know what does need to be viewed again? Well, again for me. Probably for the first time for you.
It is the first time.
Okay. So next week, we have a movie. It is a crossover episode with one of my other shows, Dishing Disney, where myself and my lovely girlfriend, Brianna, which we recently just started season 2. We are 1 year deep and we hit 10,000 downloads, which I'm very proud of. for such a ridiculous program.
And my lovely girlfriend and I helped design the logo.
That
for
is
it.
True. Yes, Seth and Sarah, double S.
Sarah Seth.
Sarah Seth, S squared.
Were we a celebrity Hollywood couple?
Okay.
We are not.
They designed our logo, and we're going to have an episode where Brianna is going to come on and get drunk with Seth and I, and we're going to watch The Shaggy Dog starring Tim Allen in a Disney questionable remake. Disney has remade a lot of movies.
Yes.
They're not right
remaking
now,
their own movies.
Yes, they're doing the live action versions of, you know, animated classics. And we didn't want to do those. We wanted to go a little deeper. So it's like, you got The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan. You could do That Darn Cat with Christina Ricci. There's numerous others, but I'm like, no, we want one that's like, why? And also, how? Right. And I think we hit the sweet spot.
And who?
Tim Allen, multi-picture deal with Disney.
And I will say real quick, I think it's so interesting that they temporarily fired James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy for questionable tweets.
Yeah.
But they were perfectly fine with having a man who was convicted of selling cocaine.
Right. It's a different time. So, Tim Allen. Mr. Home Improvement himself, Scott Calvin from the Santa Claus, becoming a dog.
And or going back to his original form. We're not sure.
A lot of questionable jokes that will probably get some groans.
Is there a doggy style joke?
There may be.
I hope so.
Brianna and I have watched it in the past year, and she was like, oh my God, that was horrible. I'm like, we will watch this again because this is perfect for the show.
Excellent.
So that's what we're doing next week. And then we're going to go on a brief vacation. Brianna and I are going on a road trip. We're doing Route 66 out to Santa Monica. It's a 2-week road trip. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we're gonna bank a couple episodes ahead of time, so you guys have some stuff to enjoy, and then we will be back the next month in June with a whole new topic. I believe, what, we're just doing summer movies?
Yeah.
And we've got 2 months worth of those.
Yeah.
That we picked. So,
and
you
for
guys...
us, they're summer / childhood movies. Movies yeah. that we grew up watching over the summer.
So that is what you've got to look forward to. I don't know, man. I think that's about it. So this is Dustin.
This is Seth. And the most entertaining part of this podcast is just hanging out and talking.
Exactly.
What were we watching?
You need to be drunk to watch Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes, and it helps. We'll see you next time.